Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody in studio. Oh my gosh. I'm very excited today. And I think I will be also silent today. And not because I don't want to be, because I think it's the right things to do. It's very hard for Ilona Europa to be like quiet and listen. And I'm sure I will be shoveling myself here and there. But we have so much to talk about today. We are continuing our segment that is called Accent on Gormley. And everybody knows that Mike Gormley, who is our guest and our friend of our show for a long, long time, is bringing right now to studio wonderful, beautiful artists that I will have trouble to probably introduce or find even. Then I think this hour I will give it to Mike and I will say, Mike, we have the special guest that is your friend of so, so many years. He even sits very close to you. I tried to get him closer to me, but he said, no, I want to be close to my friend. Then what can I say? Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, 6 till 7 Pacific time every Monday. But today we have a segment, number 3, I think, Mike. Yes, called Accent on Gormley and his guests. Okay, Mike.
Take it away.
Yes.
Well, my guest is an old friend, a longtime friend, not an old friend.
Oh, I'm old too.
So. Okay. Sidney Bullens, the list of accomplishments is long, and I'll go through a quick version of it. Close friend and singer with Elton John on major tours and recording, featured on the Grease soundtrack, featured on Rod Stewart's Atlantic Crossing, 2 Grammy nominations, appearances on shows like The Today Show and Conan O'Brien, and even American Bandstand, which you can find on YouTube.
Good times.
And then you go into an amazing personal life with a marriage and 2 daughters, the loss of 1 daughter at age 11, which I can barely say out loud. But most recently, a transition from the female Cindy Bullens to the male Sidney Bullens. And I've been coming up to this show slowly but surely, getting ready for it, and keep tripping over he and she. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I haven't seen Sidney for a long time, so it's evidently it's okay.
It is.
This is Sidney Bullens, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It's great to be here.
What a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. And here's the cool thing. The reason Sidney's in town, she lives in... See? See?
It's okay, Mike, honestly.
Anyway, he lives in Maine.
Yes, but Portland, Maine.
Put together a one-person show called Somewhere Between, Not an Ordinary Life. One of the most apt title one-person show I've ever heard of, which will take place in Santa Monica this coming weekend, June 9 and 10, at the Highways Performance Center. So I want to start out with just a quote from Sir Elton John about the show. He said, "You have to see this. It is an extraordinary story of an exceptional human being. What a story, what a life, what a fantastic show." When and where did Sir Elton see the show?
Not live. Elton, I think the greatest gift of my friendship, my 41-year friendship, almost 42-year friendship with Elton, has been that we've remained friends all these years. And I've actually seen him in person. I mean, actually sat down and talked to him in person, not just seen him perform twice in the past 6 months. And he got interested in the show when I told him about it. We email each other occasionally. I mean, obviously, I mean, we're in touch.
Yeah.
And so I sent him a film of the show, which I had just for my own. I had it filmed about a year ago just for my own self. Mm-hmm. It's not for sale. It's not online. And he, the next day, I got that. Here's a quote from me. I didn't even ask him. And so that's the kind of guy he is. He's just very generous. And he put me in touch with someone, a Broadway director, who also kind of helped me tweak the show a little bit. And he's been just an incredible support.
That's fantastic. Where does the show begin? I mean, how far back do you go?
So the show starts in 1974 when I arrived in Los Angeles with a knapsack and a guitar, and
like so many,
and it ends in the present day. And the arc of the show is my early rock and roll life. You mentioned some of that stuff, you know, Elton John and meeting Bob Crewe, and first before Elton John, who was the, for those of you, think Jersey Boys, because he discovered the Four Seasons and Mitch
Bob
Ryder.
His credentials are unbelievable.
Yeah, he's only like a million-seller BMI, you know, writer or whatever. Right. Famous writer-producer who I first met before I met Elton when I arrived in Los Angeles. And I tell that story, go into meeting out, crashing the party and meeting Elton John, which I, all true, everything true. I crashed a party with Elton John at Cherokee Recording Studios right on Fairfax Ave in Hollywood. And 2 days later, I was rehearsing with Elton to go on the road. And that, so that story is in there. And it goes, so it goes through my early life and the ups and downs of the music business as the young Cindy Bullins, the Grease movie soundtrack, my own albums. And then it goes into my family life, because I get married to Bob Crewe's brother at in 1979, and proceeded to have two daughters. So it's, there's some funny bits in there about moving from L.A. to Connecticut, and you know, and trying to fit in as a Connecticut housewife, which I shouldn't say on the air because I never was a Connecticut housewife. But anyway, and there's some funny bits in there. And it goes into the illness and death of my daughter in the middle, and the aftermath of that, which ironically, and of course it's very difficult to talk about the death of a child in short terms, like on the radio, because you're skipping over the emotion, you know, and talking in terms of fact.
Like, yeah, there can't, you know, be anything like it.
So I'm talking in terms of fact. The show goes into the aftermath, her illness and death, but mostly into the aftermath of that for me.
Iona, just so you know, 11-year-old girl with cancer.
She died of complications from fourth stage Hodgkin's disease. Mm. But the ironic thing about Jesse's death, again, I'm speaking in fact and not with not emotion, is that situation, that tragedy actually brought me back into the music business.
It was like 10 years of break.
There's a story. The story in the show is how I started writing songs for me after her death. And I wrote 10 songs in the first 2 years after her death for me, which became my album Somewhere Between Heaven and Earth, which became my biggest album and my most critically acclaimed album, I guess you could put it, through no fault of my own, because I did it all for myself. And that story is in there. And then it goes from the family, and all the transitions in the are kind of bridged with song. I play 8 songs live. It's a multimedia show. So you'll see old videos of me on stage with Elton and me as a little kid, and it does go into my gender. There's a gender flashback when I was young, three instances when I was a young person where I realized that I wasn't a normal girl.
You were very young. You went to see your mother and said, I'm no longer...
I'm four years old.
Yeah. You said, you have to call me Bobby.
Right. That's right. And so 4 years old is my first memory of thinking I was a boy, but realizing that, wait a minute, people aren't treating, you know, my name is Cindy. That's not a boy's name. So I went to my mother and said, okay, I don't want to be Cindy anymore. I want to be Bobby because that's who I am. So that story's in there with a couple of others, one at 12 and one at 19, where I try to come to terms with this gender, they call it now gender dysphoria, but that back then it wasn't a term. Anyway, the show ends with, it goes into my transition and how I came to finally decide to go through with changing my sex, you know, transitioning from female to male at 60 years old. So, you know, at an old age. And then it ends with my grandchildren, which is just the arc of it, and that life goes on.
I wanted to get into music, but you mentioned your grandchildren. Yeah. I'm just wondering how it all worked with your family, young and old, sisters, whatever, but grandchildren as well. Just how all that, how they view it, how they express themselves.
Well, that's what the show ends on,
without giving away
all of it. But in short. My grandchildren, my brother sat me down one day and he said, well, what about the grandkids? And this was right at the beginning when I told my siblings that I was really going to do this. And I said, the grandkids, I said, they're going to grow up and everybody they know is going to have somebody in their family or many people they know who's got a brother or an aunt or an uncle or a parent or a friend who's transgendered. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the ones in their, you know, right today they're 10, 8, and 20. I have a 20-month-old grandson, but back then they were 4 and 6 or whatever, or younger. They don't care.
They don't respond. They know,
and I'm very, very close to my grandchildren. They live in Maine. I live in Maine.
They lived out your back door at one point.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right. And they're involved in my life. I'm involved in their life, not on a daily basis, but on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And they call me Rara, and there's a line in the show about that. And that's who I am to them. Mm-hmm. They don't care, but they do ask me questions, and I answer. And that's a line in the song, in the show.
What about the music in the show? Is it all some of your older stuff, or are they new songs, or how does that work?
The 8 live songs, and there are also musical cues in the show that are, you know, like from American Bandstand or my first. Album and stuff. So there are the multimedia part is 60. There's 60 cues in the show, both visual with video and pictures and with audio cues. But I play live 8 songs with me and my guitar. Mm-hmm. And they're all songs that have to do with what I'm talking about at the time. And so they bridge certain, I think they allow the audience to understand at a deeper level what was going on at the time. Most 5 of the songs are from Somewhere Between Heaven and Earth, and then the other ones are not. But they help the audience really get into the emotion of the show. I did write 2 new songs. And they didn't make it into the show.
You chopped them?
I chopped them because they didn't live up to...
You quietly are creating new album. There will be the 8 songs on an album, just the beginning.
Yeah, no, the 8 songs are all songs from my past that are already recorded. There are some from Somewhere Between Heaven and Earth, and a couple from Neverland, and there's one from Dream 29 that came out.
Sydney, I see you have guitar in your hand. But we also have three songs that we
so
could
you better
play.
Get going. What do you want to do?
I think I will. What do you think, Mike? Maybe
I
we'll play
I was
one of the songs.
Suggest one of the older songs that we have.
And Gravity
then
Embrace.
Then we'll get Sydney rocking in the studio.
Okay,
that's what we'll do. Okay, come on, Mike. Sydney. Yes, Gravity and Grace. Beautiful.
Has your voice changed?
It's thickened. Mm. And I mean, just listening to that, and I do that song live, it has thickened, and I actually like it better. But as you and I were talking about before we went on air, I've always had, well, my old fans from 1978 and 79 will dispute this because my first two albums were in this very high voice. But that's Bob Crew's fault because he always, think Frankie Valli, he, even though he didn't produce those albums, he encouraged me to sing very high for energy effect or whatever he called it. And I did, but my natural voice is low. But yes, it's changed a little. I've had to lower the keys to my songs. I think it's still developing, although thank God now I have a sense of my own voice. I went through about a year and a half where I didn't know where the notes were. Oh, even right. though it only shifted a little bit. As a singer, you know,
it's a memory. You know, your voice is a memory.
Yes, it is. You know what you're going to sing.
Reprogram yourself.
Yeah, you know what's going to come out when you think about a note. Yeah. And that wasn't happening. And so luckily I had kind of, after the Refugees took a little hiatus, I was only doing a few benefits here and there, benefit concerts here and there. And so luckily I wasn't singing all that much in that time. But it was very disconcerting. And then after about a year and a half, I started feeling the new voice and sensing the new voice and being able to work with it.
Absolutely. Singer is the worst critic of ours. Yeah. When I sing, I hear and critic myself first.
Right.
Then I know if something is not feeling right. Or right. How could you feel the most honest that you could
exactly.
be?
Exactly.
And like you said, you needed to change all your songs to the lower key. And I'm sure it took you time. But you have a guitar with you today. And people can compare sound of your voice.
You want me to sing now?
Just why not? Yes, we were talking about your lower voice. It's pretty cool.
So this is the opening song. It's not a new song. It's from a 2001 album that I did, which also Gravity and Grace is from, same album, called Neverland. And this is the opening song of the show. It's called Sensible Shoes. I'll do the short version, the show version. Since there's no band here.
Oh.
Way back when I was a little kid, I never did what the other kids did. They used to call me trouble, but I was just doing my thing. Well, people kept saying it would do me good to step back in line like they thought I should. But I ain't no puppet with somebody jerking my string. Well, I'm not rational, can't be practical. I like to walk anywhere that I choose. I don't wanna put my feet on the ground, and I don't wanna walk in no sensible shoes. Well, now that I'm older, not much has changed. I make my own rules and I don't play no games. I don't follow fashion, I like bucking the trend. Well, if I'd have thought I'd have to see the light, but hey, look at me, I'm doing alright. Well, these shoes must be working, 'cause I just got lucky again, baby. Well, I'm not rational, can't be practical. I like to walk anywhere that I choose. I've never had my feet on the ground, and I've never walked in no sensible shoes. Take off your sneakers, baby. Slip on something with heels. buy some snakeskin boots or something, just to see how it feels. Well, I'm not rational, can't be practical. I like to walk anywhere that I choose. I don't wanna put my feet on the ground, and I don't wanna walk in no sensible shoes, baby.
I like that voice.
Oh my gosh, Cindy. That's this great. Is something really so cool, so good. I'm like jealous. I wrote once a song that I called I Lived Two Life, one filled with love, one without. Uh-huh. But you are like, you have two people in you, really, and two singers. Don't tell me this is one person, because really, I don't, both are amazing singers. Both are amazing. Obvious, what is today, that's what is life for you and for everybody to listen to you. But I think you really are two different people, two different vocalists. This was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
This was amazing. I love your first song, beautiful, and much more gentle. And your voice is just beautiful, too. But this one is raw and rough and always bluesy.
Well,
this
song. The good news is that he's going to record this show at some point, and he's going to record it and be produced by a woman named Wendy Waldman.
Yes, Wendy. Hi, Wendy. We would like to say hi from Accent On. Ilona says hi, and I cannot wait when you'll be back to the studio with our Polish friend, Mieczysław Szcześniak, who, of course, you met.
Yes,
and
he's
I love
a good
all
friend.
The Polish connection. I cannot say that I'm so happy that you know Wendy, and we'll be having her soon.
Wendy and well, it was Cindy.
Yes.
Deborah Holland. Had, is that past
tense? No, it's not had. We've got new music.
Yeah,
we've
got new music. It used to be a three-girl band.
Yes, a three women band.
Oh, well, you messed up.
People's now it's two girls and a trans man.
Woohoo!
but it's a beautiful singing, beautiful harmonies from these three.
I'm sure.
Incredibly talented
and
women.
All instrumentalists, so beautiful. Wendy plays so great.
And we have new music that's going to come out. The Refugees, and it's just because I live in the state of Maine. Deborah now lives in Vancouver, BC, and Wendy lives in Northridge at California, and getting us together is not the easiest thing in the world.
Right.
But we have been recording for the last couple of years. It takes us, I figure it's going to be about a 3-year album project, but that's all right. And but we make two, we're too good. And luckily, I always sang the low part, so I'm still there. And but we've written some wonderful new songs together, and we will be continuing that. So sometime, I mean, our fans have been waiting a long time and are anxious, but sometime this year, hopefully, we'll have a new album.
If there's a way of doing it geographically, we'll get the three of them in here, Ayona, because when you hear this music, and you can't hear it. It's not like it isn't out there somewhere.
Yeah, but it's there.
But the Refugees are just fantastic. And Wendy's going to, am I correct in saying, Wendy's going to produce
the album?
The soundtrack from
Yes. I mean, we'll work together on it. But yes, Wendy, we're going to do it at Wendy's studio in Northridge, Longhouse Records. And we'll do the soundtrack from this. In fact, I'm staying with her now, and we're just discussing when we're going to do that. Probably this fall.
Deborah Holland in that trio has a great story. She was in a band called Animal Logic, and it was Stuart Copeland from The Police. Not long after The Police,
right after,
and bass player Stanley Clark, and her first gig with them was in South America somewhere. Walked out on stage to, I think the number is something like 42,000 people. Her first time on stage with
these
guys.
That's a very good show.
And she, and the story about her, and for Animal Logic fans out there, Deborah Holland was unknown at the time. She auditioned because Stanley Clark and Stuart Copeland were auditioning women to be their front person.
Right. I know. Well, I tried to get a couple of friends in there.
You did? And so the thing was about Deborah is that not only did she become the woman front person, but she wrote all of their songs.
Oh, I didn't know all of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she, and of course, Spy in the House of Love, which was their big hit back in 89, I want to say, she wrote, and the Refugees do as well. But she she's a powerhouse, that little Deborah. Yeah.
And you sang that you don't follow fads and in music, one of your line in your song.
Don't follow fashion.
And fashion. Yeah. Yeah. Is this about fashion when it comes to life and every corner of life? Or if you mean strictly music that you will do and you always play what you want to play? Do you really close your ear for anything what's going on radio or whatever people call right now is Vogue and cool?
And that's a great question. It's a great question, and I don't think I've ever been asked that before about that particular line. I think at the time it was more about culture.
Okay.
My clothes, okay, for example, and but I've always blurred the lines, as I like to say. Even as Cindy, I never, which I talk about in the show, I talk about doing the great workaround as Cindy, and in my life, and that was, and then I did blur the lines with. So it's not that I was against. I tried to be outside the lines. I just was.
Okay.
I just was. And so after a while, I went, screw it. Whatever. But of course, there were times when I tried, when I was young, when I tried to be in the lines, when I tried to, write the Vogue music. I mean, my second album, I think I tried to write it as New Wave because New Wave was all the thing. And of course, it's the worst album I ever did because...
It
wasn't me. I mean, some of it is, but I tried and it didn't work. So finally, I just said, "Nah, I'm not going to worry about it."
And when it comes to 70s and 80s, and when you were touring and singing your songs, do you see the different audience, a different way that they respond to your music? Or because obviously they are growing up with our age, everybody's getting older, and they have memories of what they know about you and songs that they love. Mm-hmm. But also now, some people may be coming for the first time. Listening to many songs of yours, the progression of your life. Do you see the same response?
That's a loaded question because I think it really depends. Back in the old days, I was a rocker. I'm still a rocker, you heard from the last.
Absolutely.
But, I opened for the Ramones at the Palladium, when I used to do my rock and roll shows, and of course, even as a headliner, you have a different end in sight. You want to get those people on their feet. You want to get those people,
high energy
and everything else. And in 1990, I remember saying to myself, I will never again, this is what turning point between being a rocker and being a songwriter and a singer, is I can remember saying, I will never again write a song that I can't play, either on a piano solo or on a guitar solo.
I love it.
Because before that, everything, wrote records. Instead of, even though some of them were good songs, I was writing four records to record them with a band.
A lot of music.
So in 1990... In January of 90, I wrote Send Me an Angel, which is also on my Neverland CD, even though it's an older song. And that was the beginning of me being a songwriter or singer-songwriter, where I could just show up with a guitar. And so the audience has changed. Then the audience becomes more mature. The audience listens more.
More personal.
Yeah, it's more personal.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I love it. And we have another song. I just want to play something. Is this okay, Mike?
Fantastic.
Or would you like to... ask another question.
No, let's do that. I'll hold my question till after
Love
the
it.
Song.
We have Better Than I've Ever Been.
That's the ending song of the show.
Okay, is this out?
It's
maybe
a good one.
It's good. I really like that. Okay.
Better
Understand why the song is closing your show as a radio life,
and it has a the what I love about this in the show is that there's a collage of pictures from my life going just boom as I'm singing the song, and it's
Mike, you
it's
had
very
something
effective.
That you would like to ask us.
Oh, I just want to with everything we've talked about and your roller coaster life, and are things now relatively calm?
I don't know if my life is ever going to be relatively calm. Let's say that I am in a really good place right now. A lot of surprises. I'll tell you a line in the show. There's a line in the show that says, right at the end, before I go into my more stuff about my grandkids, which ends the show. I say I'm in a relationship now, and then I show there's a picture of me and my girlfriend, who is also the director of my show, which is another story. Tanya
which
Taylor Rubinstein,
the
director of my show. You know, I mean, she's this is fantastic person, and she was the one. Without her, there would be no show. I mean, I knew what I wanted in the show.
You wrote it. You put it together.
I wrote it. I knew the arc and all that.
It's like doing a record. You need a producer.
Exactly.
Writing a story or a book, you need an editor. It's always,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And she really honed in on... I had so much material for 40 years of my... You know, I'm talking about 40 years of my life in 45 minutes. And the other 40 minutes is
music,
you know. And... So she helped me shape the song, the show, and directed the show. Without her, it would not have happened. But she became my girlfriend somewhere along the line. My partner now, really. I mean, it's more than girlfriend. And but like what I with the line in the show is, I'm in a relationship now with me. She says the transgender thing is the least of her issues, and. But my life is good. I have three beautiful grandchildren. My daughter, Reed, who is now 35 years old. You know, I live close to and I have a wonderful relationship with her. I'm still have a great relationship with my children's father, Dan Crew, the brother of Bob Crew. I'm doing the show, which is, you know, I think part of my legacy. I mean, you know, you get to a certain age and you go, okay, what am I leaving behind? You know,
right.
What's if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, I have a heart attack or something, what am I leaving behind?
No, you have a show to do.
I know, I have a show to do.
Can we remind people where to go?
Yes.
This is a Friday and Saturday, June 9 and 10. At the
Highways Performance Space.
Space.
Yes. Do you have the address there?
Yes, it's 1651 18th Street in Santa Monica.
Yes, and the shows are at 8:30. 8:30, and the tickets are still available, and I believe it's highwaysperformance.org.
Okay.
Wonderful. We have one more song. Title is The End of Wishful Things.
Thinking.
I have thing.
The end of wishful thinking.
Thinking.
Yes.
Is this the right song to end our
Maybe
interview?
Not, but it's a good...
I like that, because we don't want to end anything.
No, it's a great song. If I do say so, the songs from Somewhere Between Heaven and Earth, I just have to say, I feel that I didn't write them. They just came to me. So I talk about them like somebody else wrote them. So I believe it's a wonderful song. Yeah,
we named the place, but let's remind people that it's called Somewhere Between Not an Ordinary Life, and it's Sydney Bullens, and I can't wait to see it, frankly.
And I know you will be back with Wendy probably, because I know you will be writing new stuff
with
Wendy. And what can I say? Accent on, four chairs, Mike will be having all these beautiful stars back with us. And first, we'll be listening to the new album, hopefully. Okay, for right now, another song.
Just outside of Baltimore, north on 95, headed for New trying not to close my eyes. Well, I could pull right over and give myself a rest, but sleep's just one more stranger that I've added to my list. And it's too early in the morning and too late to write a different story, to hope for different lines. And I guess it's finally hit me what forever really means, that no amount of dreaming is gonna bring you back to me. And it's the end. I've become some kind of vagabond. I cannot stay at home. It's hard to be with people, and it's hard to be alone. So I just keep on driving, searching for a clue. But I know I'll never find you no matter what I do. And it's too early in the morning, too late in my life to write a different story, to hope for different lives. It's the end of wishful thinking. Yesterday when I was leaving Tennessee, the sweetest little redbird came to say goodbye to me. And oh, it made me smile, for maybe it is true that the end of wishful thinking will lead me back to you. It's too early in the morning and too late in my life to write a different story, to hope for different lines. It's the end of wishful thinking. It's the end of wishful thinking.
Oh, we need to listen to land. Oh, we need to. Beautiful song.
Lucinda Williams on harmony.
Oh, come on.
Name dropping.
You know, we've hardly got into, people who record with her, Lucinda Williams, Emmylou Harris, Brian Adams, I think.
Yeah, he's on that. Lots of people.
Yeah.
John Hyatt.
There's nothing wrong to call into the studio and have an interview again.
Just talk something outside
of your performance on next two Saturdays.
Yes, but June 9th and 10th is Friday, Saturday at Highways Performance Space in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
And come on down.
I guarantee it's going to be special. You know what? You don't want to check it out. There's a trailer on YouTube.
That's right.
That gives you a little piece of the action. And I was looking at it over the weekend, and it whets the appetite.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Yes.
Okay, but if people want to find you, how we can find you?
CIDNYBULLENS.com. Sydney Bullens. It's Cindy with the D and the N inverted.
That was convenient, wasn't it?
It was convenient. SydneyBullens.com.
Thank you so much for today. Good luck.
Thank you for having
next
me.
Week. Oh, my gosh. And thank you, guitar. It was a beautiful tonality. And Mike, thank you for our third segment. And next week, we'll be having another guest. This will be a phone call.
A couple of weeks we'll be in studio. I'll straighten all that out with you.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for today, Ilona Europa Accent On, and next Monday the same time. For right now, 1 minute, dance and pray, because I can sing too. I dance and pray for one more chance to find the love.
did you break my heart?
Listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.